Welcome to A World of Good podcast. I'm Nate Tapman.
And I'm Andrew Gale.
And we are two friends
who love Jesus,
care about the church,
and travel the world to share stories of people who do the same.
Our conversations happen in all kinds of places,
like a coffee shop in an airport terminal,
or even the back of a crowded taxi.
But no matter where we go, from Argentina to Zimbabwe,
we capture stories of the good God is doing around the world.
And we hope those stories will do you a world of good.
Welcome to A World of Good podcast. My name is Nate Tapman, and I am not joined today with my co-host, Andrew Gale. Andrew is on a much-deserved vacation with his family, and I'm sure he'll have some updates for us when we are able to get back together again. So I just wanted to quickly share with you, we wanted to do an episode as a follow-up to some previous conversations we had. Two of our Italian pastors, Pastor Daniele Santinicino out of Ostia, Rome in central Italy, and Pastor Marco Slavaglio, who is in Arco, Italy, in northern Italy. And if you remember, or if you would know, that those two congregations were in some major hotspots as far as the coronavirus goes. And so we just wanted to circle back around, ask them how they were doing, and what their congregation, what their community looks like as things begin to reopen. And then the third conversation that we had was with Pastor Beth Wolf out of Maryland. Her congregation is Clarksburg Church. And we wanted to do the same thing, just circle back around, catch up with her, see how things are going, to see what it looks like for their church to open back up and to kind of resurface in the midst of the coronavirus. And so this is going to be a little bit different. We did each one of those three interviews separately. And so you will first hear Pastor Daniele and myself, then it'll cut directly into my interview with Pastor Marcos, and then the third one will be with Beth. And so on the front end, I just want to thank Pastor Marcos, Pastor Daniele, and Pastor Beth for sharing with us a couple of times in this first season and just how they are leading and pastoring through probably one of the most difficult seasons, one of the most challenging seasons of ministry that we will ever go through. So I hope you enjoy these conversations, and I hope that it does you a world of good. Danny, we're here again. I think the first time we did an interview with you and Marco Slavaglio was towards the end of March, so roughly 2 months ago, last time we spoke. And for those that haven't, I recommend or encourage everybody to go back and listen to that episode. For those that haven't, maybe just do a quick introduction of yourself. Who are you? Tell a little bit about your family and where you're serving.
My name is Daniele Santinicino, and I am the pastor of the church since 2003. The church is located on the seaside of Italy, not far from the center of Rome. And yes, we're about 50 people, our church. And I'm married, and I have 3 children and 1 grandchildren.
Again, when we spoke 2 months ago, approximately, there were Italy was in lockdown. I think you guys had just started or a few weeks into your lockdown. Lots of restrictions, had to stay in home, that sort of thing. Maybe just share a little bit about what are the current restrictions in Italy here at the end of May.
For now, the key word in these last days is security. So we had to pay attention a lot of what we do and where we're going. And for instance, when we go in a cafeteria for a cappuccino, we have to stay at least 1 meter from each other and drink our cappuccino outside, not inside. In a restaurant, for example, they put glasses between the tables, even at least 1 meter from each other. And we can go to the restaurant only with our families. In supermarket, we have to wear a surgical mask and gloves, so we don't have to touch anything with our hands, and sanitize our hands often with gel, something like this. And since yesterday, the 24th of May, we are also able to reopen our churches. Say, hurrah! I don't know how many people opened the churches. We didn't, because we would like to make a very good job before allow people to come in again and worship together. And that's mean that we have to sanitize and clean everything very, very, and very well.
Do you have a target date of when you might want to start your gathering again?
We decide to start in June the 7th, so the first Sunday of June.
So these last few months, how have you been able to lead your church? What have you been able to do ministry-wise, programming-wise? And then just as a pastor, how have you led your church during this time?
I preached and taught using every social network I had. We are a small team, about four people. It's myself, Concetta, my wife, and there's Marco, he's a worship leader, and Ricardo, and he's a former AU student. And so we all four together, we use different kind of social network that we had. So I use a lot of Facebook and YouTube, especially for my preaching. And for the meeting, we use WhatsApp, Skype, Zoom, email, and telephone. I just missed to use my old fax, my machine. Now it was complete. I use everything. Another thing that we did, that we opened the church in this 3 months, almost 3 months, and it was open only for the food pantry. So we help a lot of poor people without any resources about food and whatever. So we have a lot of precautions, also live with mask and gloves, whatever, distance. And so we continue to help them. So we have a fantastic group, and really we did a good job helping these people in need.
Awesome. Has anybody in the church been directly impacted by the virus?
No, by the grace of God, no. We saw a lot of people around us, and we heard a lot of people that were sick, and some people died. But when we talk to church in Austria, really was not affected, and this is a blessing from the Lord.
What has this been like for you, maybe your family and your country to go through?
Now, after the culmination of the pandemic, with this some dramatic situation, people were sick and many people died. I think it's talking more than 30,000 people died in this month here in Italy. Now it's like after a storm, a tsunami, you can say. It just come in it seems that everything is destroyed. And maybe not physically, but morally and mentally, of course. And how I said before, many people lost their jobs. Many lost their houses because of the bank mortgages. Many people are still facing with fear, uncertainty, insecurity, and they don't know nothing about the future, if they will be able to work again. Now in Italy, maybe we feel better about the pandemic, but the people are not good at all.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I think, everybody's perspective here as well. Our thoughts here is, you coined it perfectly in terms of this is almost a tsunami. It's after the storm, and everybody just kind of looking around, seeing what the damage has been, taking inventory and figuring out how do we move forward. So maybe just share a story of how you have seen God at work through this. And the name of our podcast is A World of Good. And in essence, we want to share the good that God is doing around the world, even in times like this, where there doesn't seem to be a lot of good news out there. But we know that God is at work. And so how have you seen God at work through this time?
I don't have maybe a singular story. But I saw God working in and through his church in many ways. I can tell you now maybe four different things. that I saw in this in few months, and I saw the women of our church meeting regularly every day at 6 p.m. for a prayer meeting every day, and really that's try to fight with the social things, and maybe, but they were faithfulness and faithful to meet, and that was very great, good for me. They pray for the people, they pray for the problems, they pray for the sick, they pray for the church, they pray for a revival. They pray every day, at least 1 hour from 6 to p.m. to 7 p.m. And second, so I saw many people attending our service online. In church, we the average in our church is about 50 people, I guess, more or less. Could be some fewer, some less, but more, because it's about 50. Now, between Facebook and YouTube, I saw more than 200 people hearing the gospel, and most of them are not believers. That's something very amazing, that maybe through this situation force the people to look after God and try to understand and receive from the word of God encouragement and peace. So this is so I end all my preaching now, I end with an invitation to accept Christ in the heart and come to me. And for now, it's okay, but I mean, at least I get this opportunity. Third, I saw people be faithful donor with tithe in this difficult time, using different channel. They went online, they sent money to the church, they went to the post office and they sent money, and they put it in envelopes. So I received money. And in many ways, so I saw people be fair in spite of their situation, and they really want to be faithful. They honor God with this in this way. I saw a family from abroad making a donation for the church. That's very touching in my heart. And so, in one sentence, I can say I saw God's faithfulness in this terrible time. So God is faithful. God is good. How we say, and this is true. Maybe it's if you put together, it's like a puzzle. Small pieces that give a big picture, and this is the big picture. God is faithful. God is good. That's the main point I want to share with you today. Or never be afraid, because we know that God takes care of us.
I am here with Pastor Marcos Lavaglio, and thank you, Marcos, for joining me. I really appreciate being on the podcast.
Thank you to you, Nathan.
Since we last talked 2 months ago, you've had some big news in your family. Maybe just share with us what you have experienced and what new being has joined you in life.
Yeah, was a totally different period when we talk about things 2 months ago. Right now, right now we have our first baby, and his name is Noah. He's now 2 months, and he's a blessing in this time. It was incredible, because during that period, the same day, it's incredible, but the same day that he was born was the worst day of contagious people in the city of Trento. And our baby was born that day.
Was born during that time.
Yeah. So, but we were happy, because Daddy, he gave us a very nice gift in that dark day, just to say like this.
Yeah.
So our time, it's our perspective from that day was totally different, because we have a baby in our house. He take joy in our hearts. So totally different time. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, hey, maybe let's just start there and tell us, what are the current restrictions for you and your family and the people there in Arco, and the region that you live in is called Trento. And I know we were talking a little bit earlier, and each region kind of has their own restrictions, or at least you're not able to even travel from region to region. What are some of the other restrictions that are in place currently?
Yeah, in Italy, in most of the places, they are continuing to have restrictions, dress the mask and have protection for the hands and use a cleaning gel. For the region that we live now, have no more cases in the last 3 or 4 weeks. So they started to open more than the other regions. So people okay. can walk in the parks and wherever and go to, do more things than from the beginning. So that's our situation right now. And of course, most of all the regions are starting to open it step by step. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that Trento, your region, was one of the hardest, if not the hardest hit regions in Italy.
Yeah.
Is that the case?
Yeah, because we have in this region a lot of the special hospitals for the old people, and a lot of people from Italy, they usually come here and take the old people to live in a beautiful places and healthy places, and but the virus take these places, and a lot of the old people dead because of the virus. So yeah. You're right, because we suffer it too much.
So maybe just share a little bit about what you guys are doing, and when are you going to open? What do you have to do in preparation to open, and what are you anticipating as you open?
We actually we are going to open the church this Sunday, and of course we have to respect some rules. We have to take distance 1 meter for each one, and everyone in the room have to dress mask, and we have to doors opens that the air come in and out, that a good circulation of the air, and yes, and of course we have just a limit for the time of every service. We have to do it in 1 hour. And after the 1 hour, we have to finish. And of course, the people outside of the church, they can stay together like in a group, but we have to even continue to maintain the distance to each other. But we are we felt the happiness in the people of the church that we are going to see each other and spend time to worship God. So that's fine.
Yeah. And have you been able to stay in contact with members of your church through these last few months?
Yeah. We usually, we continue to stay in contact with the youth, like to doing Bible studies or with the church doing the prayer meeting through Zoom, and the Sunday services through Zoom too. And it was very nice because we saw the people first that they are fine, and second that God was doing beautiful things during this period.
Awesome. Well, hey, that's a great segue into my next question, which is, how have you seen God working in and through your church?
Yeah, the last time I told you that we have people that in our church that they work in the hospitals, or with people that actually had the COVID, and we are impressed. We are surprised by God that nobody of our people in the church have the COVID. God is protecting these people during their work, because we know that they have to go there because they have to work, and sometimes that it's not because they want. So, but God protect them. God just look into everybody in the church. Some people work in different works, and so maybe the risk is not too high in contrast, you know, with these people that they work in front of the people that have the virus. So that's awesome. Yeah. And we also saw how God provides the money and the things that the people need, even if they didn't work. The bosses can say, I don't want to pay you for this month because you're not working for the COVID, so I don't have money. But we saw how God is providing money, even if some people didn't work. And yeah, we have different stories about that. So God is good all the time. So that's wonderful.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you to you too. We love you and God bless you so much.
So Beth, thank you for allowing us to catch up with you again. And as I shared with our audience earlier, we just want to kind of hear what you are doing and what Clarksburg is doing. So what has transpired since we last talked with you?
So one of the big things that has been happening since we last spoke is that through a variety of events, the county actually got in touch with us and found out that we had the little free pantry on our property. And as a result, our name was submitted as a food distribution center, which has been interesting because then we've been getting calls randomly at random times that say, hey, there's 40 boxes of fresh produce that are coming your way. Can you distribute them? Like, can you take them? And so that's been a fun thing to try to figure out what are the chains of communication that we have access to in order to make sure that the resource is able to get to where the need is, which has sort of spurred a larger conversation between all of the food hub resources that are in the area where there seems to be a disconnect in terms of getting resources to where the need is and being able to do that in a quickly and efficient way. And so we as a church are actually working on developing a bridge between the resources and the needs, developing a tool that will help bridge the gap between those so that when, as resources arrive, we can figure out where the need is very quickly and how to distribute it. But we also know where the needs are before the resources ever show up. And so that's something that we're working on. Which will actually have applications for our foster care network that we are trying to engage in, as well as many other applications. So we're excited about that.
As the states begin to open up, how are you planning to reopen your church?
Montgomery County, which is our county in Maryland, actually has been under a stay-at-home order until this past Monday. And so we're really only 3 days into the stay-at-home order lifting. And so we haven't taken many steps in terms of physically reopening. But what we have done is about a month ago, we had a conversation with our congregation on a Sunday morning that I led them through, where I basically helped them understand all of the issues with reopening. I think that generally a person who just attends church or even is an active attender and volunteer at the church really just sees it as an issue of when will the building be open? Like, when can we get back inside? And they're not totally aware of all of the other conversations and implications of trying to figure out the ins and outs and nuances of things. And so I wanted to make sure that they understood sort of where this was coming from so that if things didn't happen as quickly as they wanted them to, they understood, had a broader picture of everything. And so on a Sunday morning over live stream, I walked them through sort of a conversations that I'd been having with other church leaders about what it means to have a quality gathering, particularly how that affects our children's ministry, our physical location and the time that we met, and then also what our worship looks like. And those were things that they really just hadn't thought completely about, that like, hey, by having us all sing together, that actually creates an additional risk. And so how do we want to mitigate that risk? So after explaining all of those, the ins and outs of those conversations, we actually did a live feedback survey. So it was through Mentimeter, which is allows you everybody to remotely respond to a survey and us immediately get the results on the screen. So that was a cool way to do it. So we had several questions that we asked and had the congregation respond to. It was really interesting because by and large, their response was not what I expected. So I would just encourage anybody to survey their congregation to actually get real responses to how people are feeling. But our congregation didn't care whether we met inside or outside, whether we had masks on or didn't have masks on. In fact, singing was even optional for them. Most people were very conservative about when to come back, that they might lag behind coming back longer than maybe some other people. But those things were important because we also discovered that they really didn't want to juggle their children during a service. So we had thought family service and they said, no, we absolutely don't want to do that. We will wait at home and watch through the live stream until you can offer full children's ministry. So that was interesting, but they also didn't want to gather in multiple services. It was important for them as a small congregation that we all meet at the same time. And from there, we were able to build sort of a three-phase approach based on that feedback. Now, the question becomes sort of like, when do we institute the first phase of that plan? And that is still kind of hanging in the air. The congregation said that they would want to wait maybe 2 or 3 weeks before making any moves, just to see how the virus sort of plays out. So we're still in that phase right now, just doing live stream. And we'll go ahead and move into phase one of our decision-making process, or phase one of the plan, when we're ready to do that.
And is there anything you will continue to do that you started in the last few months as the church has been closed down, the physical location of the church has been closed down through the coronavirus?
One of the things that we're thinking through is what does it look like for us to be a digital church that has a physical expression rather than a church, a physical church that has a digital expression. So in the reality is we don't know how long COVID will be here or how many times it's going to come back and we're going to have to switch to sort of a stay at home reality. And so one of the things, and in addition to that, we have a lot of people in our congregation that sort of are part of the vulnerable population. And so even if everybody else is able to come back, they may not be able to. And so we've just been thinking about what does it look like to love our neighbors who are in that most vulnerable situation. And we've been thinking about how do we offer them a digital experience that is not sort of a secondary experience. So how do we become a digital church that has a physical expression, but if you have to participate digitally, it's not any less. So what does it look like to have groups and workshops and our Sunday morning experience that is accessible both digitally and physically, but that we can sort of operate whether they say, you know, in the fall, hey, stay at home order again or whatever, or somebody is incapable of coming, but they can still do that. Or even if somebody moves away from our congregation in that transition period before they find maybe a home church in the new place that they are, that they could continue to participate with us. That works particularly well because we have a lot of military families and transient families being in the Washington, D.C. area that come and go kind of quickly. But this could offer some support for them as they make those transitions.
I love that phrase that you used, to be a digital church with a physical expression. I think a lot of churches have been processing and thinking about that for a few years now. I know ours has been doing that. And during this season, we've realized the importance of having not just an online presence, but to be an online church and to allow for people who can't gather physically to still be part of a church body, a church community. And so I love that phrase, a digital church with a physical expression. So how have you seen God working through this season?
I have just been realizing as we've walked through this process is that I just am having a hard time believing that the coronavirus and all that is happening is just a fluke of history. And it all just seems a little too mysterious and a little too spiritual to just be this cosmic mistake. And so one of the things that I am continually processing is all of how this virus has sort of exposed this spotlight on all of the cracks and the brokenness in our society. So the system of how we care for the elderly and those in nursing homes, our education system, and how maybe that's not quite supporting working families and working parents or even kids with disabilities and exceptional needs. Our healthcare system and how perhaps that's kind of devalued and particularly the ways that our healthcare system is not set up to support those people who are in vulnerable populations or people of color. It's shining a light on a system that devalues those who are most essential in our economy, how there's a lack of support for working families with children, the vulnerability of small businesses, as well as the church's own complacency to gather without scattering, to sort of cluster together without sort of understanding in a bigger picture that the church is really the scattered people of God as well as the gathered people of God. And the reality is this virus didn't create any of that. Instead, it really exposed the brokenness that was already there. It brought attention to some of the injustices that have been running rampant in our country under the cover of darkness. And it's just really reminded me that God is on the move in the midst of all of this. He's sort of shining a light on those cracks and those desires to bring something new. And I know that everybody really just wants to get back to the way things were and that everything just get back to the normal that they used to have. But I really think that God is doing something here. He's going to bring us to this new normal. And I believe fervently that God's going to bring us to a place that is sort of this new normal that is so much better than where we are right now, as well as better than where we were before. And really, if we are going to be people who are willing to press in to the awkward and to the strange and to the different, God is going to bring something radically new to us.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter, at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.